Today, on The Lab Report, we're going to talk to Dr. Christopher Mote.
Yeah, he's doing some really innovative things in his practice.
Yeah, he's bringing together both functional and primary care.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to The Lab Report. There's a fruit fly in here.
Just one?
I don't know.
Hello.
Hi, Michael Chapman.
Hello, Patty Devers.
Welcome to The Lab Report.
Welcome, everyone, to The Lab Report. This is a Genova podcast, and it is all things functional medicine, specialty lab testing, integrative therapeutics, and we hope you enjoy.
And if you do enjoy, we hope you go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you hear podcasts and subscribe to the podcast, rate us, review us. We like that.
Do those things, please. That would be helpful.
You can also reach out to us.
You can connect, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can write us.
Yeah.
podcast@gdx.net is the email for this show. If you want to send in a question or just give your feedback, need someone to talk to, all those things.
I'm so lonely now. But I'm excited about today, Michael.
Yeah. I'm excited as well. We've got a really cool guest.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about practice management and give some clinical pearls as well.
Because, you know, what's interesting is everyone has these great ideas about ways you can change your practice. And it takes someone who just thinks outside the box.
Everyone has great ideas about how to do that.
Yeah, some are better than others. I'll give you that. But there are people who then take it to that next level and they just think differently. And I think Dr. Mote is one of those guys, which I love. So we're going to talk to him all about that today.
And not just talk to him about that today. Mm-hmm. Like, talk to him about that right now.
Oh, let's go.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Christopher Mote. Dr. Mote is a board-certified family medicine physician specializing in functional and lifestyle medicine. He graduated from Midwestern University Chicago College of Osteopathic Medicine in 2009 and family medicine residency in 2012. And he's also certified by the Institute for Functional Medicine. Prior to attending osteopathic medical school, he was a practicing chiropractor, having graduated from the National University of Health Sciences in 1999. Currently, he is the founder and medical director at Cornerstone Health Community in Centennial, Colorado, which is a unique and innovative primary care and functional medicine practice, which we're definitely going to get into a little bit later. But with that, thank you so much, Dr. Christopher Mote, for joining us on the Lab Report.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm becoming a fan of you, of your show. You guys make it look like it's a whole lot of fun on your end.
It is.
Someday we could trade places.
The best part of our job. But interestingly, a lot of the people we interview, your name comes up in many of those conversations with other functional medicine docs. And like most of these functional medicine practitioners, you had a very interesting path to get here. I mean, you were a chiropractor first. So tell us how you end up practicing functional medicine.
Sure. And I'll try to keep it brief, though it was not a short road. In the late 80s, I graduated with a marketing degree. And I went to work for Black & Decker and later Pitney Bowes, where I used to call on physicians. I was selling dictation equipment. Very few people even still use that. Mm-hmm. But these physicians I were calling on were stressed out. And I said, boy, I would never want to be one of them. And it wasn't long after that, actually, and now 7 years into my sales and management career, that I met a girl who looked at me and she said, you know, you don't look very happy. You keep having to chase everybody down. And I think this this cold calling is catching up with you. And I didn't want to believe her, but I think she was right. She said, it seems like one of your favorite parts of your job is actually after the sale, where you get to conduct your group training and your one-on-one training and your education. And I think she was right. That's actually where one of the first seeds of our current group health visits were probably sown. Hmm. The cold calling definitely was rough after 6-7 years of that. Even then, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And she suggested, you're going to have to go back to school. And again, I said, I would never do that. But she was right. My priorities also changed when I developed a relationship with God. About that point in my life, I was 28, 29, and everything sort of changed, the whole trajectory. So I did start to consider what would it look like to go back to school, get a professional, and people come to me. And the one thing that really stood out was the chiropractors that I had called on, very different from the medical profession. They seemed to have a very special relationship with their patients. there was a high level of trust that I saw when I shadowed a couple of the chiropractors. And I later came to understand that their goal wasn't just to alleviate symptoms, but this is what really got me. It was clear that they were trying to empower their patients to take ownership of their health and to make the change. And that really grabbed me. So it was in 1995 at age 29 that I went back to school as a chiropractor. And then it was about the end of my schooling, my fourth year as a student. I was working as a student physician in another chiropractor's office when I met a representative from Orthomolecular, Aaron Bartsch. He's now their president. So we sort of grew up in the profession together.
Yeah.
He called on me and he introduced me to a laboratory, a small mom and pop lab out in San Diego that was headed up by a naturopathic physician by the name of William Timmons, who has since passed away. In fact, the lab only recently had to close its doors. But that was a time in the early 2000s where Dr. Timmons took a small group of clinicians who expressed an interest and showed an aptitude for functional medicine at a time when functional medicine really didn't have any recognition in the public. And only a small handful of practitioners were even interested. That's where I first met names like Joel Mercola and Dan Kalish, Kurt Waller. Mm-hmm. A lot of us were learning from Dr. Timmons in the early 2000s, and that's where I picked up my paradigm for functional medicine. To really get a hold and a vision for what we're doing in our practice, you have to go back to 2001. That's about the time I opened my first chiropractic office. Now, I went to the National University of Health Sciences, where they actually teach you to be a primary care physician. And in Illinois, that is the scope of licensure. You could be a primary care physician, but without prescribing rights, it certainly changes your emphasis back to lifestyle, diet, and having patients make change. So I also incorporated a lot of functional laboratory testing as my primary diagnostic tool, as opposed to health surveys and muscle testing, et cetera, like some of my colleagues. So the lab testing became critical. But what I saw was that patients were having to see me to transform their health, but maintain a relationship with their primary care doctor. They just couldn't abandon it when they have this insurance. And of course, you need somebody to help you navigate the medical system when it's really important for you to see Western medicine practitioners. And so it became a struggle for patients. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was difficult for me to get patients as a chiropractor because I think, honestly, patients would come to us out of desperation. They still do. I'm still the practitioner of last resort. But it was hard to get patients. It was hard then also to manage cases where I found problems, i.e. pathogens, and I didn't have the prescribing rights. And so it was then that I saw a vision for what I really wanted, which was to be able to be the primary care doctor and to help patients transform their health using functional medicine and to blend the best of both. And so I realized at 40 years old, I was going to have to go back to medical school.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I had two kids and a mortgage and this small office as a chiropractor, and I just could not imagine how we were going to chuck all of that and make it work. And again, this is where I feel pretty strongly that God opened some doors for us this to happen. And so at 40 years old, I did get into medical school. Maybe one of the most difficult things you can do at 40 is to get into school. Mm-hmm. Once you're in, it's not that difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And then once I was in, I had to bite my tongue quite a bit, not to argue with just so many things that we were taught in medical
sure.
school that I already knew were not the case.
Right.
But I have to say, I learned so much about the full spectrum of disease, because now I'm seeing not the people who are starting to see health decline before they've been diagnosed with disease, but people who have had diseases for decades and now they're at the end of life. And I did my hospice rotations. I just realized the full spectrum and where Western medicine has a role and clearly where it does not. And functional medicine is a better choice. So I came out of my 4 years of medical training and 3 years of residency failing medicine as a much more complete physician in my thinking.
Well, let me ask you a little bit of what's going on right now at Cornerstone Health Community, because I find this really, really fascinating as well. Your current clinic is a great example of blending traditional and functional medicine, and not only in how you practice, but in the business model as well. Can you explain a little bit about how that works and maybe give some tips for those people who are looking to integrate functional medicine a little bit more into their primary care practices?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked, because it's one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yeah.
So I spent a couple of years after residency looking for the right opportunity. I just was reluctant to open my own office, and I kept trying to work with people who had established offices and saying, here's what I could do. But there was never the full freedom to implement what I thought we could really do for patients. And so, unfortunately, in 2016, we had to start from scratch. We signed a 7-year lease. We had no patients. We had one staff person and myself. But the plan was to bring together some compassionate, skilled professionals in nutrition and even primary care, people who like to do urgent care. That's not me. Mm-hmm. And bring them together so we could help patients, again, to do the primary care and build their insurance when it's real simple and straightforward. But for patients who want transformation, then they'd have an alternative track in the same office to work with me. And that's when I realized we were going to be about life change on a, and we're going to do it seriously, because the least efficient way that I learned earlier as a chiropractor, the least efficient way to try to help patients transform their habits is to sit down for 30 to 60 minutes one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds good, and it is clearly the ingrained expectation of both patients and physicians, but it is so inefficient, and James Maskell talks all about this. It will break anybody who's serious about it, because you cannot just sit down and say one thing for 30 to 60 minutes, get up and move to the next room and start all over again and say the same thing and the same thing and the same thing.
Right.
Pulling people together in groups seemed pretty obvious even before we opened our doors. So we made a waiting room that actually is big enough to seat 20 people and put a nice big electronic whiteboard in there. And so it is both waiting room, but it's also our teaching space.
Yeah.
That was the commitment, and thus the name Cornerstone Health Community. We just know that it's a heavy burden for one practitioner to try to implement all aspects of care patient by patient by patient. We have to have both multiple staff members when we can pull them together, and we have to give patients multiple touch points because they can't absorb it all in one 30 or 60 minute appointment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
But I want to back up and just say one thing, because the expectation for a patient that they're going to get one-on-one time with their doctor, and the expectation of the doctor that I'm just going to see all my patients by myself, is a very difficult thing to change. For us, it came out of necessity that I was spending the better part of the first appointment just trying to set expectations for patients on how we do things in the office. And we weren't even really getting down to the problem that they had. And so this necessity was that, how are we going to set patients' expectations? And I learned later, it's how are we actually going to give patients a vision for health transformation? And so we went to something called an orientation. And for that, any patient identifies that they want to work with me to do functional medicine, we ask them to come. No, we don't ask. We pretty much demand that they come to the orientation, which is free. And for 3 or 4 times a month, I'll take an hour at noontime or in the evening, and we'll have 8 to 18 people in the room who are interested in functional medicine. And I explain to them what we would say is functional medicine, because everybody kind of has their own idea. Mm-hmm. And then how do we render that in our office? And what are the out-of-pocket costs that patients can expect? I never liked that patients would get halfway into their care and run out of money and say, Dr. Mode, I can't keep going.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we want to tell patients, here's what insurance will pay for. Here's what they won't pay for. Here's what you could expect in terms of duration of care, frequency of care, and overall cost of care. Now, we don't have memberships and concierge fees. We just tell them at the orientation, here's what you can expect. And so that is an unburdened by staff having to explain the ins and the outs and how we run the office. It's given patients who come in with just a little bit of hope an opportunity for us to generously water their hopes with encouragement and vision. And so they walk out of these orientations and they're ready to sign up. But it's a key piece of our practice, because it then takes patients off of the primary care list and puts them onto a designated functional medicine list. And we've divided the labor in our office. So I have a physician assistant who does our routine annual wellness visit and our routine sick visits. And I only see patients who need transformation. Patients can see either one of us in the time they work with us, but we've divided the labor. And it's the orientation where we set expectation for groups. So that was a long answer to your question there, doctor. But we give patients the understanding that you're going to absorb a lot of information and change, and you're going to need to do this in multiple group settings. So you'll get your hormone results back in one class, and we'll talk about hormones and stress. And then another evening, we'll spend 90 minutes talking about digestion, and you'll have your stool test results. And then another class, you're going to come in and you're going to get multiple topics covered, like how to eat for avoidance of inflammation, how to do better sleep hygiene and block the blue light, how to do intermittent fasting, all the basic habits that we need to instill in our patients. We have them come to something called Next Level Health class. And so the classes are a key piece of transferring all the information the patient needs in order to take hold of their health. rather than expect that you're going to have 15 visits with me over 12 months and I'm going to sit there and explain it to you.
Right.
Right.
But you have to share that with them at the beginning. And if they really don't like the thought of it, then they don't come. But the vast majority of patients get excited about that. And I've only had two patients in 4 years ever say to me, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And honestly, yeah. Those are two very crabby patients.
Clearly. Well, even lab review. I mean, you talked about reviewing lab tests. So even do reviewing lab results.
Yeah. So that's the other thing too. When I get a salivary hormone test back or a stool test back on a patient, I'm explaining some of the same concepts of on a stool test, you know, leaky gut and mm-hmm. non-celiac gluten sensitivity and SIBO. And I'm talking about all the same things. So I'm thinking, well, why don't I put them all together? Because I could say it once with passion each mm-hmm. week, as opposed to 6 or 8, 10 times a week.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty dry when you have to say that so many times and patients pick up on that. So sure. We just set the expectation that you're going to get your test results and a personalized written treatment plan based on your test results when you show up to the class. And then when they check in, we take their copayment. We're going to bill insurance for a 15-minute office visit, which is a good trade-off for the insurance companies. I've never had any of them balk. The patients get 90 minutes with the physician. The insurance gets a 15-minute office visit charge. They know that they're stepping into a group environment where everybody's on a first-name basis. So HIPAA laws are a little looser. And for group health visits, you're allowed to share first names, right? Mm-hmm. We don't ever put people's test results up on the big screen. But what I do is I put sample test results and say, if your cortisol awakening response looks like this, here's what it means.
Yeah.
Right. And if your bedtime cortisol is elevated, like the one on the screen, here's what that means. Mm-hmm. And then they can look at their own test results and correlate it with what they're seeing on the screen. And when they walk out after 90 minutes, they're fully educated on a topic like stress and hormones and sleep. And they know what their test results say, and they have a treatment plan to follow. And then they'll come back to the office for a one-on-one to follow up after they've started that.
Great.
Makes a lot of sense. It does, and it makes me think about the principle of doctor as teacher, right? And how much of that is what is important from a functional medicine perspective is that education, that information that ultimately, hopefully, is going to generate compliance. And yeah. I'm just wondering, how much have you seen a change in people's adaptation of these lifestyle changes or these dietary changes based on their engagement with the group? The simple question is, have you seen since kind of doing more and more of these group visits and these group information sessions that people are more compliant as patients?
Yeah, it's changed our practice because the patients are getting some really useful information, things that I was having to teach them one-on-one. I was developing written notes and handouts for them, and we use those materials. But now people come in and they're sitting in their classroom style, or at least they were until we went online. Mm-hmm. And you watch them taking notes and asking questions and being engaged. I would say 90% of them are there because they know they want to get something and take it home and try it. So then the follow-up visits, I just do check-ins and I'll say, so what's your eating window now? When do you start? When do you stop? And boom, they can tell me exactly what that is and what that means. And have you bought your blue blocking glasses? And oh yeah, I keep them by the. So they come back and they are eager to tell you about the changes they made. And it is such an informative and interesting way to sit down and learn about your health personally that many of our patients, maybe 20% of them, want to attend the same class again sometime in the future. They just want to hear it again.
Yeah.
So patients are hungry for this type of a learning style. I think they really prefer it for things that aren't truly patient sensitive, like, hey, deep depression and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder, do they bond too? Like, do they become friends? I guess you make a community of people within your community.
So that happens a bit in my classes, but I tend to be a bit more high school teacherish. I stand up and I lecture because I just like to hear myself talk. Right? But my my nutrition therapist, when she does her detox class and her nutrition class, she literally sits down in a chair with them and she starts asking people to talk. And by the time they leave her class, they're all interconnected. Trading phone numbers. They go on Facebook with each other.
Yep.
So yeah, there's a deep community aspect that develops over time and it translates into other classes. But that's as patients are comfortable with that. And it seems to be very well received. It's cool.
And you were just mentioning how this is kind of the operating system that you had up until this whole COVID-19 pandemic, and you've had to sort of alter that a little bit. So how have you altered that using telemedicine? Have you been able to maintain that community structure and group visit structure?
I was surprised by this. I was fearful because I'm not great with that kind of a technology. It was pretty new to me. We've always catered to a local population who are willing to drive to the office. And as a chiropractor, when I used to work with people on the telephone, it was just a telephone back in the day. You know, there wasn't video platforms when I was first doing this. And so I never enjoyed it. I liked sitting knee to knee with patients, but that was not an option if you could be getting each other six. And so we quickly reached out to one of the online format companies. Can I say their name?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody in our church was a representative for Zoom, and we sat down quickly over the phone, and he explained how it works and how you can make the whole one-on-one or even groups HIPAA compliant by adding the technology of encryption that they offer. So it was a small upcharge on the monthly fee to get a HIPAA compliant audio-visual format. Mm-hmm. We quickly then started bringing people into that. And I was pleasantly surprised how many people could easily access the technology, even those who are pretty challenged in their willingness and ability to use email.
Yeah.
So that's been a pleasant surprise. We'll start our Zoom calls now with 6 or 16 people, and I keep a staff member logged in so they can see who's on and who wasn't on the call. And then if there isn't anybody shows up, she goes and she calls them at home just to make sure they can access the technology. And I'd say we're probably at 95 to 99% attendance for people to be able to get onto the classes.
That's great.
And then
the response has been fantastic, overwhelmingly positive. Patients telling me, you know, I like eating my dinner and sitting there in front of the computer listening to you instead of sitting in your classroom. Can we just do the rest of them online too? So I think we'll always offer that as an option going forward. COVID has definitely left its mark on our practice. We mm-hmm. even now are willing to see patients remotely, where previously we would only see the local population.
Yeah.
But it's actually been a pleasant surprise because, oh, here's something. I didn't expect it to shorten our visits. But for some reason, we get on our one-on-one calls. We say, hey, how's COVID affecting your life? Just briefly to kind of break the ice. And then we jump right in. And we are frequently done at our ending time or before, which is always a challenge when they come in the office. And so I don't know exactly yet why it's so much more efficient, but we are on schedule more than I ever have been when patients actually come in the office.
Interesting.
Super efficient.
Huh. Right. That is interesting.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Mote, we know one of your many passions is that of the stress response and circadian rhythm and sleep. Do you think maybe you can touch on some of those things and how they contribute to optimal health and wellness?
Yeah, so since 2001, I've been teaching on salivary hormone testing, and I got initially what I learned from Dr. Timmons. Back then, we called it adrenal fatigue because that really was what we thought we were dealing with. And it's intuitive because if you're going to measure salivary cortisol, well, cortisol is produced in the adrenal gland, so we must be measuring adrenal function. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, all of those endocrinologists that I used to argue with over the years that said adrenal fatigue is not a thing, turns out they're right.
Yeah,
right.
Cortisol is a surrogate marker for the overall stress response, and the cortisol awakening response is this stress test for the brain and its capacity to organize a stress response. I'll say that again. The cortisol awakening response is a stress test, and it tells you how your patient is able or not able to organize a stress response. The diurnal pattern of cortisol through the rest of the day merely tells you how much stress your patient is dealing with.
Yeah.
So, for example, if your cortisol awakening response is flat, but the patient has normal cortisol, imagine what that would look like. Their diurnal cortisol would be much higher if their cortisol awakening response was better able to organize it. So you can play these two off together and get a better picture of not only how is your patient responding to stress, but how are they able to or unable to.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we know that the cortisol awakening response can be supported through neurotransmitter support. Then the other things we pick up from this one-day hormone check that's, by the way, is the most valuable tool I've ever used when it comes to assessing people's hormones and stress. We can see three markers related to sleep, you know, the bedtime cortisol that keeps people awake and gives them a second wind of energy. The progesterone level is on that test, and that's the facilitator of GABA. You can certainly support that response with immediate release progesterone, either troches or immediate release capsules for the GABA response that you're going to get. And then there's melatonin,
right?
And not just a single melatonin, but the whole melatonin rhythm. And when you start putting these markers together, there's some wonderful information you get when you're dealing with cases like fatigue, poor sleep, depression, chronic pain, hormone imbalances, osteoporosis. It's a long list, but this is a test we run on nearly every functional medicine patient because it's so important to see their ability to organize that stress response.
Another question that I have with respect to that is, you know, I'm wondering what can be done because we're all under a lot of stress right now, even more so than previously before this pandemic. And so, you know, from a therapy standpoint, what are some of the biggest things that you're talking about with respect to rebalancing the HPA axis?
Yeah. So this is going to sound like, you know, many things that you hear from other people who know more on the topic than I do, but sleep to me is one of the major ways to normalize your stress response, to improve your brain chemistry, and in this case, increase or normalize your secretory IgA levels. So for me, the sleep comes down to four things. Three of them I can get from the one-day hormone: the melatonin, the progesterone, which again shuts off a racing mind by releasing GABA, and then the bedtime cortisol. You can bring it down with things like phosphatidylserine. And then there's sleep apnea. So we'll get into those four areas and get a home sleep study maybe for the apnea, the one-day hormone check. But I tell patients, you're going to have to sleep great if you want an immune system that's going to really help you in this case. Now, you can certainly use nutritional approaches, whether it be vitamin C, NAC. I mean, the list is long, right? But none of those work as effectively as you'd like to think if the patient has problems with sleep. So that's where we would focus. Throw in their exercise to help you manage your neurotransmitter responses and your hormone balance, and just to be more resilient to stress. But for me, it really does boil down to sleep.
Interesting.
Yeah, Michael's in big trouble. He has a new baby.
Yes.
Well, what else do you have going on right now at Cornerstone Health that we might not know about that you'd like to talk about? Is there any other workings going on, anything brewing over there that we should be aware of?
Well, thanks for asking. So it is the formula of putting primary care and functional medicine under the same roof and billing patients insurance for what can be billed, i.e. the office visit, some of the labs, and then giving patients expectations for the rest of it has been so popular that We've got a 6-month waiting list for the functional medicine side. We've got a month long waiting list to get in on the primary care side. And so we just inked a contract with our next functional medicine doctor who just finished his IFM certification.
Great.
And we're going to be adding another physician assistant. So we've also expanded our space. We're doubling in size. And I think that's as big as we want to grow. But I will just say that for those who are interested, for those who are in traditional medicine, starting to realize that functional medicine is probably something they want to be a part of, I would say jump into your IFM training wholeheartedly, but don't yet abandon your practice and all of your insurance contracts just to go cash and concierge, because there is another effective model that you could put all of that under one roof, serve your existing patients and a whole bunch of new ones well, but then peel out for yourself as the practitioner the part that you most enjoy. And if you want to do primary care and hire somebody else to do the functional medicine in your office, that could work. But if you really want to do the functional medicine and turn over the primary care to another provider, it's a wonderful way to practice. And I'm solidly in the same camp as James Masco and Genova and so many others like OrthoMolecular who are trying to change the profession. And I believe that one way we do that is we stay in the system as opposed to walk away from the system.
Makes
That's
sense.
Fine for some people, and I would never criticize them for making those choices in their personal and professional life. Mm-hmm. But there is a way through, and we don't necessarily have to bail out. That's what I wanted to say.
That's great.
Yeah, that's...
And it's true, right? Because it separates things. I mean, if you keep it together and you know that in the traditional model, you can practice functional medicine, it really is. It's the way to push the paradigm forward, I think.
And I think it's one of the biggest questions that people who have maybe gone through or are going through the IFM certification program, is the biggest thing that I see weighing on their minds is, how am I going to implement this? Because I know where I want to go, I just don't know how to get there. And I think that's really helpful advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then let me just tack on one little thing there. Because I personally struggled to make enough resources to justify how much time I was spending serving my patients. The equation just wasn't balancing. And I think that's actually more common than it is not common amongst the functional medicine minded practitioners out there. So this has been a highly effective way to get patients better, a thoroughly enjoyable way to practice, and lucrative. You can make money doing this, but you're going to have to charge fairly for your time. And so we get into that in some of our additional training. And then the biggest thing I will say is that patients really respond to seeing a prescribing doctor on the IFM website who says, we'll still take insurance. And because our little bio on the IFM website says that, we get call after call. And then we just say, listen, if you want to work with us, please come to the orientation. And that's the extent of our marketing, is to be on the IFM website. The traffic is driven to our primary phone. And I think one of the things they really like about it is they saw 38 other Colorado practitioners on there, and ours says we still take insurance. And so
that gets
a lot of patients calling our office.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, I do have one last question.
Go ahead, Michael.
And this is a little bit off topic, but the question goes a little something like this. Do you like sandwiches? And if so, do you have a favorite sandwich?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
Oh, here we go.
So I will take, I think it's some kind of gluten-free, Canyon Bakeries maybe. I'll take a little slice of bread, stick it in the toaster, and I'll have an open-faced sandwich. And then to that, I like roast beef with a little horseradish cheese and just a little bit of, it's like, I think it's a mayo mustard kind of on there. And then, of course, the sandwich is made by having a nice big dill pickle spear next to it.
That's a great answer.
That is a great answer. It's a classic.
We've gotten a lot of good answers.
Yeah,
and that one is.
That's a good classic.
I think the horseradish was really what put that over the top.
And the pickle.
Yeah.
But it was.
This is just so fun.
I know. We're just so glad to have you on, and just a wealth of amazing information. And we're grateful that you came. We want everyone to check out your Cornerstone Health community. They have a website. Look into that.
Yeah. And also, another thank you for everything that you're doing to push the boundary as far as what can and will be done with this type of medicine today and in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think that it takes this type of innovation to make sure that we're maximizing the reach and the potential of functional medicine. So I really appreciate you and all your work in that area.
Yeah, Dr. Chapman, Dr. Devers, I'm just really grateful to be a part of what you're doing. And so I look forward to the next time we can be able to talk together.
Absolutely. Excellent. Have a great rest of your day, Dr. Moat.
Thank you both.
Go ahead and say it, Michael.
That was excellent. That went well.
That went well. That went real well. He's just a kind person. You can kind of feel that, can't you?
Yes.
The kindness.
Yeah, absolutely. You can feel that. And on top of that, innovative.
Right.
Interesting.
I love that.
Clinical pearls.
I like when people do things differently. And it just worked. And he gave some really good practical information there, I thought.
Yeah. A bit about sleep in there.
Oof. It keeps coming up, dude. It's
every time.
Every time.
It's just hurts. It hurts a little bit. Mostly hurts because I'm sleep deprived and everything hurts.
Well, we'll have Dr. Moat back on to talk about sleep specifically for you.
He can be my own personal
That's
physician.
Right.
How many of those are we acquiring here?
Probably
at the
one
lab
a week.
Report?
One a week for you.
Yeah. Excellent. I need them. I need them all.
Before we...
It's a different type of group health. It's a group of people trying to help me.
That's so true. Oh, maybe we should do a disclaimer, Michael.
The contents of the lab report are meant for educational purposes only and not to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice.
Thanks, Oliver.
Thanks, Oliver.
Perfect. What are we doing next time? Next time on the lab report, we talk to Dr. Susan Blum,
a true pioneer in functional medicine
and also well respected with her knowledge around the immune system and healing arthritis. So it's going to be really interesting.
Great. You've been listening to the lab report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net.
The truth is,
what?
I'm actually not sleeping that bad. But the joke is worth it every
time. It is worth it.
Yeah. It's really my
wife
is the one who's not getting any sleep.
I was just going to say that. Poor woman. She's a saint.
Yes.